Data integrity is the difference-making revenue cycle.
Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Kaiser. Our mission is to discuss practical insights and share knowledge on how to navigate the transformative technology of AI. It's important to understand how AI can be used safely and ethically while revolutionizing patient care, streamlining operations, and enhancing medical research. Today is a unique and special podcast. It'll be twice as good. The reason is we have not one, but two top thought leaders in the world of revenue cycle management. I'm pleased to welcome from Synergen Health, Dumi Gunawardena and Sunil Kanda. Dumi, you are a co-founder of the company with your brother Mel, and Sunil, you are the chief product officer. Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
All right. We'll get your voices identified and we'll try to get both of you guys to share a little bit. I want to start with, there was a riddle. I want to paraphrase this riddle a little bit. And this riddle's for the audience, so don't feel bad if you can't answer it yourself. But here's how it goes. What is something rich people want, poor people have, and if you eat it, you will die? So for our audience again, I'll repeat that. What is something rich people want, poor people have, and if you eat it, you die? The answer is nothing. Rich people want nothing, poor people have nothing, and if you eat nothing, you'll die. So now let me make it relevant. Is that funny? Let me make it relevant. What is something rich people want, poor people have, and this happens without revenue cycle management in healthcare? Without revenue cycle management in healthcare, nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. Would you guys agree?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to put it.
It's one way to get the thought moving in the right direction. Sunil, let's start with you. This revenue cycle management, we're trying to not use too many acronyms, but RCM, revenue cycle management, it is complicated. It's really complicated. So let's educate our audience at a high level on what it is and how it works. What are the elements of this? Give us a quick education on this, Sunil.
Sure. So revenue cycle starts from the time a patient schedules a visit with the provider, all the way to making sure that the provider gets paid and the patient's balances are collected and the complete ledger is closed. But if you look at revenue cycle as such, there are multiple steps within the process that allow the patient journey all the way from scheduling to the service where the patient goes into the facility. And then after the procedure or service, then there's a process of collecting the payments from the insurance companies. And if there are any balances, the balances are sent to the patients for patient payment. And then all the accounting information is reconciled. So if you look at it, it's at each step, there is complexity right away for starting from scheduling all the way to closing out the account. And a lot of it is determined by complex activities like contracting, what kind of contracts the physicians or providers have, what kind of coverage the patient has. And all of it determines what kind of payments the provider is going to receive and what kind of balances patients will have. Now, our role as an RCM company is making sure the provider gets compensated for the services, and we make sure that we collect every penny that the provider is supposed to get.
So from your perspective, you have to work relationships with claims processors and billing partners. You're responsible for everything from point to point all the way around the system?
That's correct. So we work starting with when the scheduling is done, we start with looking at the patient coverages, doing eligibility verification, any prior auth requirements that the patient might have. And then once the service is performed, we look at what's done during the service. We create the charges, and the charges are dropped or sent to the clearinghouse where it's routed to different payers. And once we receive feedback from the payers, so it could be a payment, it could be a denial, then we work those denials. If there's any denial, then we work. And if there is a payment not to the expected amount, if there's any underpayments, we do follow up with the insurance companies to get those payments. And then we provide visibility to the providers to see how their revenue cycle process is working. So we provide technology and tools for them to monitor how their revenue cycle processes are being run. And once that's done, like, we make sure that the patient statements are sent on a timely fashion. We send reminders. We make sure we collect the patient balances. And then we close out the account.
It sounds to me like a great big bowl of bad. This sounds awful. I heard there's 55 billion claims that go through these clearinghouses in a year, 55 billion claims. And anybody I talk to, my personal experience, I've never had what I'd call just a joyful experience in dealing with getting a claim process or scheduling things like that. So if the individual people out there are having a rough time, I can only imagine how challenging that might be for you guys as the managers of all this to make it seem what I would call frictionless and easy and a wonderful experience. That's a whole lot. So let me shift here, Dumi, to you.
Sure.
You know, Sunil, that's a great explanation. We'll get a little bit deeper into some of this. I want to try to find out a little bit more detail. But Dumi, you and your brother, Mel, you guys are the co-founders of Synergen.
Right.
And was it on purpose or was it happenstance? How'd you find yourself in this really super complicated world of healthcare?
So I have to give credit to Mel. He founded a revenue cycle company, a services-only company, in 2003, which he sold out in 2010. I was actually a partner, silent partner, but I was working in another company at that time overseas, so I couldn't join him. But when he sold out, we decided to start something different from a technology-enabled standpoint. We believed that in this complex, evolving revenue cycle in healthcare, we needed to bring in technology. And I remember writing the business plan saying they're going to have a bunch of solutions, and his exact answer was, what would it be? Like, we'll figure it out along the way. But it was very interesting because we realized that you can't just throwing bodies at the problem. You can't solve it. You bring technology and innovation really to solve this. And our mission is really to partner with our clients, which are hospital systems, large doctors' practices, labs, urgent care, ambulatory surgery centers, and really reduce the cost of collection while adhering to the highest standards of compliance. As healthcare is a highly regulated industry, so when you bring in services and technology, you got to make sure we adhere to the highest standards of compliance.
That's a big challenge in itself right there, just the regulatory component of healthcare. That's enough to scare most people right out the door. Don't even get involved because of all the regulations.
That's right. So Synergen Health, we founded the company in 2011, and we've evolved now. We are in about 45 states, probably all 50 states in the U.S. We have a team of about 1,200 people. We're headquartered here in Dallas, Texas, but we also have a global delivery center in Colombo, Sri Lanka. And what separates us is from day one, we wanted to be a technology-driven revenue cycle company. So we use a lot of analytics, workflow system, a lot of technology around automation, RPA. And we started our journey in AI and machine learning about 5 years ago. So I think Sunil can talk through that. But over the last 10 years, we have a lot of standalone products, which solutions which sit on top of billing platforms. So we don't have our own billing platform. We work with other billing platforms, but we are able to utilize our technology and also our awesome team, a highly educated team, to solve this complex revenue cycle.
That's an important point. So let's talk about your culture a little bit. First off, I love the name Synergen, and your theme is synergize your health. I think it's such a cool name because if you look at the definition of synergize, it says to combine or coordinate the activity to produce a joint effect greater than the sum of the separate effects. So you guys are really trying to create a lot of value by the way that you do things. So you mentioned that you've got a offshore talent team, highly educated. Tell me more about that. What's that like?
So when we started the company, our goal was to almost start a consulting firm without labor arbitrage. All of our team members are college educated. Our career plan is just like a consulting firm. And we bring a lot of innovation in, and that feeds into our product and solution. So that's why we're able to innovate really fast, because we have a highly educated team who not only see the opportunities, but also the kind of the gap in the software and the solutions out there. So we can bring it to our product team to see whether we can automate or find better ways to increase the efficiency and provide better outcomes for our clients. And the team, we've been very mindful about hiring not only highly skilled team members, but also people who fit well to our culture and who could grow with us and really evolve. Some of the members of our startup team are still there after 13 years, and we are so happy that most of them are with us all this while.
How many people do you have in Sri Lanka, and how many people are stateside? Is it 50-50, or is it more dominant in Sri Lanka?
It's more dominant in Sri Lanka. However, a lot of the folks come and visit our clients here while we have our clients go and visit our team out there as well. And they, you know, collaborate really well. Some of them talk directly to very senior executives in our client side. And in the day of Zoom and Teams, I don't think they see any difference. It's all about outcomes and driving efficiency and getting the right outcomes here.
So how should I think of Sri Lanka? Are you guys an exception, like one of the best places to work? Or is that a culture where there's a lot of high tech? Paint a little bit of a picture for our audience what Sri Lanka's.
So Sri Lanka is a former British colony. It's a little island next to India, and that's Mel and I are from there. And that's one of the reasons we founded it there. But same way, the education system is very similar to India. So we get a highly educated team, very strong in technology as well as from an English standpoint as well. So we see a lot of technology firms out there as well. It's just like every firm has global centers around the world. It's just another center, as we say. But for us, it's our team, and clients don't see any difference. They're from the States or Sri Lanka. There's absolutely no difference.
So tell me why Dallas? How come Dallas stands out in your corporate headquarters?
Oh, Mel and I both came to SMU. Mel came in 88 and I came in 92. I know UT Dallas is a great school, but we happened to go to Southern Methodist about 30 minutes away, and this became our home. We love Texas. We love the city. I think wonderful for healthcare. It's a huge healthcare market as well.
Exactly.
Some of us started our careers in consulting. DFW is the perfect place to be to travel to any part of the country. So that's why I think Dallas.
That's how a lot of companies got started here, simply because of the airport. I too am SMU alumni, 2011. We have that in common, so we can ride the pony there, so to speak. So that's great. So Sunil, we talked about how important revenue cycle management is. I'm going to lead you with the question, what can go wrong? And let's start with the February 21st cyber attack on Change Healthcare. And people may not be aware of what happened with Change Healthcare or who Change Healthcare is, but a couple of $1 billion in damages incurred. Educate the audience. Tell us the story, what went on back in February from a cyber attack on Change Healthcare and how that affected the industry.
Yes, I think, as you explained, Bob, so the cyber attack on Change Healthcare was basically a ransomware attack. And the way it happened was one of the servers that was one of the internal servers that Change Healthcare had didn't have it two-factor authentication. So that allowed someone with compromised user ID password to get into the server. And from there, they were able to spawn out to other systems and then encrypt the data and hold the organization for a ransom. Now, during this time, there is the clearinghouse, which is like a conduit through which all claims are submitted, and also all remittances come back from payers, has to be shut down. Because,
oh my gosh, oh no.
That means that none of the providers, like any organization that was using Change Healthcare as a clearinghouse, couldn't submit any claims. Now, if you understand how these organizations work, their cash flow is tied to how fast they can send the claims out and how fast they can get the money in. That's the cash flow that helps them sustain. Now, once you stop sending claims out, that means that you're not getting any payments, right? You had organizations that had millions and millions of dollars that are tied up, who they're not able to bill. Now, the only option was people started looking at alternate options, right? Instead of Change Healthcare, can you use another system? There are other providers in the market, like Avail.ed. Now, to switch a billing system that's connected to a clearinghouse from one clearinghouse to other clearinghouse is not just a simple task.
No.
There is testing involved because there's integration involved. You're making sure there's a two-way integration. You can send the claims out and you can receive the remittances. And then the billing system can still understand the data, interpret the data, and post that information. So there is, I would say, a significant amount of work that's needed to ensure everything works properly. So this has caused a massive disruption to a number of organizations because of claims not being able to bill out.
If I'm a primary care doctor and I'm expecting to get money to come in to take care of my staff of 15 people, and what you're telling me is that the well's dried up, there's no cash flowing in when this happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what if I'm the government? What if I'm Medicare, CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid? Do their claims all get blocked as well?
Yeah. So if you're using the clearinghouse to send Medicare and Medicaid claims, even those claims are stuck. So you're not able to submit any of those claims. In some cases, some systems, they've directly integrated with Medicare. Those organizations can still submit those, were able to submit those claims, but most of them typically rely on clearinghouses to submit claims to all payers, both commercial as well as federal.
Is the government going to go ahead and pay the money out when no one else is? Wow.
Yeah. Change had introduced a system for providers to receive some advanced cash payments based on their past volumes. But based on their run rate, they were getting some cash. They were eligible for cash advances. And I think there was a week or two weeks delay before that came into effect. But even that, there was still a lot of confusion in terms of how it worked, how the recoups would work later. So I would say, yeah, it's a massive disruption. Just like what you said, for a primary care physician, it's a major blow because they have bills to pay, they have staff to pay, but they're not getting any cash in.
Did this affect you guys as well as Centergen Health?
It did affect our clients. So there are a number of things that we have done to ensure we lessen the impact to our customers. So we made sure we immediately communicated to all our clients saying that, hey, this is what is happening, which means that none of the claims are going to go out. You're not going to get any payment. And we started looking at alternate options like other clearinghouses or using paper. Okay. So we can basically print the claims onto paper and then send paper claims out. But again, if you're sending paper, it might mean that it takes longer time to process those claims now because they're not electronic. So there's still an impact in terms of the cash flow. Okay. And we looked at enrolling providers directly with Medicare so that they might be able to submit these Medicare federal claims directly to Medicare. We also looked at, we worked with the billing system to make sure that they find an alternate solution to Change. And so as we worked, we have a great partnership with the billing system that we were using for most of our clients. So we were able to work closely with them to find an alternate provider and ability to onboard them quickly. And so we were able to provide multiple options to our client to weather this storm and have some relief.
So not having all the eggs in one basket, I guess Change took care of about 1/3 of all the claims that are out there. So that was big damage. And that kind of shifts things over, Dumi. I think of airlines, when airlines have had outages and you on the news, everybody's camping out at the airport and they can't get out. It might be due to weather. It might be due to system outages, et cetera. So Dumi, when you see a problem like this happen as a leader, as a manager, how do you get people around this problem right away? As a leader, tell me your strategy to keep the boat from sinking?
That's right. So great question. So we have a disaster recovery processes already in place to really address situations like this. And from the time it happened, it was all about transparent communication with our clients, with our internal team, and other stakeholders like our different billing platforms. We first had to delineate which clients were affected who were actually using Change, which weren't. The ones who were utilizing Change Healthcare, we had to give daily communications on our process, the alternatives we were utilizing, like what Sunil stated. And then also have a war room of a team changing our processes and adapting to the new way of doing things for this interim time period. And then following up with the backlogs, because at the end of the day, the viability of most of these providers are large, the be it hospital systems who are missing out millions and hundreds of millions of dollars until they got paid. And then there's a phase two of it. Once it was brought back on, there were still a lot of trailing issues like the ERAs, the electronic remittance advices weren't coming to us, so we couldn't reconcile the book. So there was a lot of changes. But I think it all starts with communication. First of all, having this disaster recovery process in place to be able to communicate to our clients internally, as well to our stakeholders on a daily basis, and showing status and progress towards that. And then looking at any other risks out there and mitigating them, and all hands on deck, getting it done. And we have an amazing team. And I think the actual impact to our clients are significantly less than what happened in the industry. And we're very proud of our team, as well as our partners as well, because they all work together to solve this, as well as our clients.
I like the word prevail means that you come out of it stronger than when you went into it. So it sounds like you have a prevailing team there. And that's pretty impressive to me to think that you were able to manage through this conflict, learn lessons from it. I'd like to shift into the concept and identify some areas of artificial intelligence, because I look at the issues you guys have to deal with, whether it be verification and pre-authorization, the coding and the billing, submitting the claims, the collection, the appeals. There's just all kinds of areas here which I think could be problematic, difficult, bad data, denials, extra documentation. So how do you identify what problems you go after and what technology you use to go after them? And so I notice that you guys talk about AI, machine learning, and RPA, robotic process automation. Why don't you educate our audience how those three things work together and how they coordinate a little bit and how you go about identifying problems to solve? Maybe that's something that both of you can talk about. We can start with Sunil.
Sure. So there are different types of AI technology that have been there for quite some time, starting with machine learning, deep learning, NLP, like computer vision, generative AI, which is the most popular now because of ChatGPT, and the final goal, which is AGI, artificial general intelligence. Now, within healthcare domain, these things have been used in different forms. So starting with like basic machine learning, where you would look at large amounts of past data, you do and use it for analytics, denial prediction. Then you can use deep learning for image analysis. So this has been around for quite some time, where you would look at radiology imaging data and run analysis or deep learning to diagnose certain conditions. You can use it for patient monitoring. And NLP has been used quite widely within healthcare system, especially for scribing. So a typical physician would dictate the notes and the NLP system would understand and translate to text and store it in EHRs. And also interpreting that data for coding. So that has been done through NLP. Vision video analysis or vision, which includes images and video, is being used for compliance, like simple things like patient compliance. Is a patient doing what they're supposed to do? Again, imaging. And adherence to certain protocols can be done through vision, basically AI-based vision. Now, generative AI, which is a new front, which have been quite popular with large language models, can be are being used within healthcare for like appeals, like denial. When you get denials, you have to appeal. You can use generative AI to be able to generate more effective appeal letters. Patient customer service, like providing that patient better patient experience, explaining them the charges, the balances, and having a more intelligent conversations. Training, like staff training, right? So things like this have been used. And from our side, since we are focused more around RevCycle, we are looking at specific areas within RevCycle where we can use machine learning or AI or generative AI. So we look at one of the areas that we use is like denial prediction, like early denial prediction using machine learning, coding, like converting basically the charges, generating the codes, the CPT codes and the ICD codes based on the chart information. And within the post-billing, if you look at your AR, how do you manage your AR more efficiently? So we use AI there, denial resolution or denial resolution prediction. Like, for example, if you get a denial, what is the most effective way to resolve it? So you could use machine learning or AI to be able to predict that based on your past information, which is more effective rather than touching the claims multiple times. So within RevCycle, we do measure that activity. If there is a denial, we want to have a one-touch fix. What that means is you just do one activity, a follow-up activity on that claim, and you want to get it paid. That's the most efficient way, because the more number of touches that you make, the more cost it is.
Talking about the denials, I think that's pretty interesting, Sunil. So I think that sometimes they want to deny payment. I hate to think that's true, but they might put things in exceptions where if you don't have this address, if you don't have this correct, we're going to deny the claim. And if you could go in there and figure out with natural language processing and some ML machine learning algorithm to search and find these little denial caveats, if you will, that would make that process, like you said, a one-touch scenario. And I think that would benefit everybody. That would benefit the payer, it would benefit the provider. It would make everything a lot easier. And I think that if you start using some of these advanced technology tools and you start to streamline the process, that the counterparties are going to see this and go, we need to get involved with this too. We could really together tune this system to make it really a frictionless environment. Is that possible?
Actually, I mean, in fact, my next point was related to that, which is if there is a denial, sometimes you could get an electronic information back from the payer, but sometimes the payer sends a letter. Now, if you look at, and these letters, if there's a large organization, you would have a lockbox at the bank and all the communication is sent to the lockbox. Now, you're getting thousands and thousands of pages of this correspondence, right? And they're written in a normal language saying that, hey, here is the address change. You need to send the claim to this address rather than the original address that you had. Now, someone had to read this and take a corrective action. Now, that takes time. And that's where a generative AI or LLM-based system can help really a lot. So it can read the document and say that, hey, the document really says that you need to change the address. And you just want to know that. You don't have to go through three pages of the letter to read to know what needs to be done. So once it's basically an address change, you can go back, correct the claim, and resend. And that improves the efficiency. And as you do this, I think, and as you rightly said, I think that understanding between the providers and the payers to ensure that you have frictionless claim submission and frictionless payment, and there is enough adherence to the protocols, that can greatly improve the time to cash for the providers. And also it reduces the overhead, both on provider side as well as on the payer side to handle this claims processing.
Okay, very good.
And I want to add to that. Yes. I think that when you talk about the frictionless process, I think it's very important that the payers are our stakeholders. And if we can provide the claim or even the denial management information in an accurate manner to reduce their costs of processing, it helps the entire system lower the cost of collection. That's very important because we've been using technology like robotics process automation to turn in appeals information one at a time. And one of the large payers decided, let's open an API. And because we process millions of claims, it makes no sense for them to have these things coming one at a time. If there's an open API or secure API, we can send that data and then they can process it in a cost-effective manner. Likewise, we could do the same. So it's happening. I think it's the more sophisticated payers are doing it, but there are thousands of different payers. So there's transformation happening slowly, but we are optimistic.
Yeah, I think the healthcare marketplace, they're slow. They're not really fast to adopt new things, but there's a lot of things out there that become disruptors. And when that disruptor shows up at your front door, then you say, wow, I need to do what these guys are doing. I need to get tuned up here and jump in. A question for you, Dumi, your line of work in healthcare and AI, does that engage you at all with the FDA?
No. So right now for Synergen Health, we don't, unless you have a new product which you're trying to get FDA certified, we are not doing that. But I think Sunil can talk about a sister company there. So we, for revenue cycle management, we don't deal with the FDA. We actually deal with the CMS, right, Sunil? But yeah. if you want to talk a little bit on the FDA, we can have a different podcast on a whole different business.
So typically for healthcare side, where we are within REM cycle, FDA doesn't come into picture.
Yeah. I can tell just by the nature of this conversation that you guys are passionate about making this whole system work better. And I'm glad to see that you're leveraging technology in a meaningful way, that you're just not out there trying to throw technology at anything, but you're really trying to make a significant difference in the particular areas that need the help right now. So I'll just end by saying, you guys talk about end-to-end visibility from the CFO to the patient. Is that a differentiator in the marketplace? Can anybody else do it that well? Is that unique or is that an industry goal?
I think it was unique, but like a lot of companies are having better analytics and visibility, but that is clearly a differentiator. When we partner with our clients, they have full transparency to all the data we have, and within a few clicks, we can get to the answer. And that sort of transparency makes us accountable to do what's right and synergize and collaborate with our clients, as well as our patients. When we send patient statements, we do a lot of work on the patient statements and simplify it so that they understand it, as well as have quick options for them to pay, whether it's right now we just deployed Apple and Google Pay, but there are payment plans. There are all sorts of things we are doing to make that entire patient experience better. So transparency and visibility is very critical in healthcare. You know that because most of the time you and I go to a doctor and we get a statement 3 months from now. That shouldn't happen. It should happen immediately within a couple of weeks, because in 3 months you've forgotten like who you went to, right?
So right.
that transparency and visibility required. And I think that happens through the entire value chain. For us, when we partner with hospital systems or large providers, providing in-depth and visibility and analytics to their revenue cycle is very critical.
And well, I'm convinced it can get easier. I'm absolutely convinced it can get easier when you start to take the right approach. So I just like to say, this is a special treat. This is really great having two people on the podcast. So lucky to have Dumi Gunawardena and Sunil Kanda from Synergen Health. The ideas that you've shared and the technology that you use, I think is going to continue to make a big impact in this crazy world of healthcare that we're trying to improve every day. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or want to hear from a specific guest, contact us at gopi.com. That's G-O-P-I, gopi.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes.